This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to the Better Together Conference podcast. This session is from the 2021 conference held at the Adelaide Convention Centre and proudly recorded and produced by Joy 94.9. For a full list of all the recorded talks at the conference, visit joy.org.au/bettertogether or search Better Together on your favourite podcast platform. And for more information on the next conference, visit theequalityproject.org.au.
This presentation was presented to us to present to us how I succeed because Catherine Gower, our father, could not be here to present. So we'll have to make it as a success. The job to do. A national strategy to prevent LGBTI overuse, facilitated by us, here I speak with Roy, who is a citizen of the society. Older LGBTI people experience elder abuse in unique ways, with further studying impacts on mental well-being and physical and the two studies itself. These issues are often missing from elder abuse strategies. This sets out ways to create innovation to prevent LGBTI overuse by linking older LGBTI people to elder abuse services and support of LGBTI communities. The outcome of this session includes understanding the problem of LGBTI overuse, understanding of the role of compliance advocacy services in preventing LGBTI elder abuse, and understanding of the role of LGBTI community in reporting LGBTI elder abuse, and strategies and opportunities to participate in the petition to compliance and advocacy services for us to address elder abuse. This is written by Catherine. We don't have all the information on here. So we had to write this, the rest of the presentation, and we can't have any connections. So, elder LGBTI plus people experience abuse based on their LGBTI plus status. Abuse is not just in a poor setting, it's also in families. Service providers need to understand this and reach out to elder LGBTI people. LGBT plus community need to reach out and be supported by our elders. So, elder abuse at first story. LGBT elder abuse happens in aged care facilities. Independent living within aged care facilities that are controlled. Home environment living with younger families and living independently. LGBTI people, elder abuse in the home in a domestic violence situation. We've all heard the stories. The story have not heard a need to hear and need to be found. I'd like to introduce Malloy to do her connection.
My name is Malloy.
gathering one to say a big, big hello to all my friends in the tour, especially when we look at Catherine. Today I'm going to share a story that starts out with what it was like for me growing up as a lesbian in the 1950s. Then I'm going to tell you about a recent experience about an elderly Spanish health service provider. The two stories are connected as we in frequency. The past is my deep, smoking from the past. I was born in 1945, so I'm 86 years old. Growing up as a lesbian in the 50s was awful. My family didn't have anything to do with me because of who I was, and I couldn't deny who I was, so we had very little contact. Then in my early 20s, I had a bad day, and I moved in with a person I thought I was a family. It was a beautiful moment. She was a very devout Catholic woman who took me in and was like a mother figure. She didn't approve of me being lesbian, and she talked me into going to see a psychiatrist at Hillcrest Hospital, here in Adelaide. I went into Hillcrest as a volunteer in person, and the psychiatrist said to me that if ever I went back to be a practicing lesbian again, God wouldn't love me. I was in Hillcrest for 3 months, and then in Hillcrest for 6 years. We tried electric, convulsive therapy, psychotherapy, pivotal therapy, LSD, and anything else to help my turn straight, and it didn't work. I eventually decided that my sexuality wasn't a sin, and so I moved away from the cycle of treatment. I realized that I had been told to give up my sexuality in order to be loved. But I know now that it's not what God wants. That's not love. So I learned to stand on my own 2 feet. I learned to accept myself and love enough for myself. And I met my partner, Matthew, and we were together for 22 years. We had a wonderful time together, and she died 6 years ago. Recently, I was discriminated against by an anti-health service provider. I thought to myself, here we go again. I felt rejected. I lost hope and the will to keep fighting. I thought I was being put down and I wasn't good enough. I felt angry and it opened up a lot of wounds from the past. I've done a lot of work on my sexuality and I've blossomed from being a little girl with so much work and time to the woman who knows who she is. But this incident took me back to the pain and hurt from way back. It was like I was back in a bad old days, but with the extra vulnerability of loneliness and grieving for the loss of my partner, and being isolated from my LGBT community. It made me physically sick, and I developed gastritis, and my blood sugar went sky-high for days. I contacted Catherine Bell, the director of Access for Life. Catherine supported me and put me in contact with people who also helped me. One of the things Catherine said to me when I first ran her is that the loss of being a lesbian is nothing to be ashamed of, and I had every right to be proud of who I am. It was important for me to hear that and to be reminded that being a lesbian is not worse. Catherine put me in contact with Louise Wilford, who used to work for ALICE, the AIDS Board Rights Advocacy Service, here in America. Louise advocated for me. She put me at ease and was a professional, and at the same time, she was very caring towards me. Louise and I met with the AIDS Care Service provider to talk about what had happened. It was really stressful. In the meeting, I felt I was under attack. Having Louise there was great. Louise tried to get the service provider to see see what it was like from my perspective. She told the service that what they were doing was discrimination. Having the reason why I'm doing it was impacted, I didn't feel that I was very wrong. I felt I was with someone who knew how to handle it. I trusted her. She knew my history, and she was supportive. I also made contact with Robin Newton from UCLA, an anti-care service here at Lama, and Desmond Ford, who used to work at Cody, South Australia. They both told me to reconnect with the LGBT community in LA. That helped me to face them, support it, and to move on. On a number of the way things have gone, I'm back on my feet. Support I got has made me feel more confident about myself again. I feel I'm more grateful than I used to be, more loved than I was. My story is not unique. There are older LGBTI people who experience abuse and discrimination every day of the week, not just in residential aged care, but also in their homes. Older LGBTI people experience elder abuse in unique ways. The disrespecting of our sexuality, or our gender, or our bodies, or our relationships. But older LGBTI people often don't speak up about it because they are too scared. We've been taught to straighten out our lives, to avoid that setting status quo. And even though the world has changed, we have more rights now, some older LGBTI people are still struggling with their lives and they won't complain. Some older LGBTI people won't complain because they are bored, they will lose contact with their families. Some of them won't complain because they're worried about repercussions from service providers. And many LGBTI people won't complain or approach an advocacy or elder abuse service because they don't know where their services and supporters for older people are. As I said before, my story is not unique. What is unique about my story is that I'm willing to speak out publicly. I'm sharing my story to help you understand what it's like for older LGBTI people and to encourage older people to speak up and reach out for the support. I want you all to understand that LGBTI people experience elder abuse in different ways. I was discriminated against because of my sexuality. Others are discriminated against because they're trans or intersex, or because they have some sex relationships or both. See, I told you the past is not good. I have been told that the national plan to address elder abuse does not include older LGBTI people as a primary group. That does not mean supporting this should not be a priority. We deserve to be supported. Our advocacy services and our whole LGBTI community. Elder abuse services need to understand the terrible abuse that we've been viewed and treated in the past, because those views still exist today. They exist in the abusive and disrespectful ways that some service providers and family members treat us. And they exist in our reluctance to access advocacy or support services. Because many of us are frightened of discrimination or stalking, we have to straighten up our lives to avoid upsetting the status quo. I want to finish by asking all to think about our youth. In other words, I'm asking you to go out and meet with our older LGBTI people, build relationships with us,
let us know that we understand what we have experienced in the past, and let us know that you are there for us now, advocate for us, and support us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again, Dan, for sharing this story. Perpetrators of violence are all around us, our two communities, the family, the suppliers, and other suppliers, is often the first perpetrator of violence. Also, organizations that policies and processes, institutions, discrimination, the four sources. But that's the last category. Also, staff, all areas, doctors, other medical, terrorism, civil trials, migrants, external contractors and customers, unrelated visitors who are transphobic, homophobic, gay-phobic, homophobic, homophobic, they live in the community, and the people that are utilized for facilities, they want to visit their loved ones, find first place. And it becomes very uncomfortable for the people that are not going to go back to the community, but to be to our local it is kind of mistreatment as well, which can be turned back to the residents of the local facilities. And other tribes of the residents are also holding the same transfer of homophobic, homophobic, which is a very important person. Dealing with the perpetrators of violence, first things are, this is like a come to. Identifying the problems, like how do we identify these problems? How do we get past these things? Policies, how do we ensure that the policies that are within homes to make sure that residents are safe? It's included a bit of supporting staff within management situations and where people go out to their elders' problems to make sure that they understand affirmative action. What are the rights of the to be fired and how to uphold it? When to do police enforcement? And also, the federal and state based criminalized commission is also a wealth of information. And also, when that has a self and go to lodge a complaint.
So,
what is needed? I mean, to support LGBTI organisations and violence, and so they will achieve that. Identifying LGBTI elders who have gone back into the closet, a lot of people have gone into healthcare facilities and been afraid of what's going to happen. The people who have gone back into healthcare facilities without knowing what's going to happen, they're also terrified. They're just going to get scared. We are terrified we're going to be discriminated against, so we jump back into the closet to match school. But then, grown out a lot of them, so we get treated as some of the same people. It's not dignity at all. It's not dignity at all. We have the same rights as everybody else. It's not fair. Giving us equal rights doesn't take any rights away from anyone else. just in that way, all the people that need to know to be able to teach others better. That's a tool to educate the children and the children of those who have to do it. I hope others may be working towards it, and others may have a policy for them to just feel about. There are far too many who do not have the same idea of how to treat the people to that person. ECF has its community to make care of that we need to make sure that we can get one organization that has 5 people in order to satisfy that. And the ECF looks after individual people with assisted people with the members of the network that have to have the care facilities that people are in there. The other aspect of ECF facilities on that dynamic part is that of dementia care. People in dementia care are often mistreated because they are understood, the staff are outside of the public, there's no environment. What matters to people in the trust of life, it costs about $500,000 to put it into that facility. I get that money back, but it's a cost to life, but it costs me $700 a fortnight. The pension is up to $950 a fortnight. I have to find out if the rates are not in profit. Now, that's a lot of money to come up with. And the evidence that I have to do is not enough. There are always people who work for the first person who has always been satisfied. Is that satisfied with the truth? Is it a good sexual service? And that's it. So that's a spot on the table that don't have income or funding. So LGBTI people, those who know the minorities, there's no recognition of them at all. I ask them for them, just have to reach them. I can't find a place on the earth where I was close. So we need to change the whole system with love. We're going to reach them, but we're going to do it again. I'm really worried about what it takes to find out. So, what is it? Okay, so the workshop. This is a workshop I'm going to talk about. So, I'm going to actually ask you a question just to kind of add it in. Okay, last time I was at my school facility, at the same time I was talking about before, I heard the line, we think that we are the same. So what's that about? What's wrong with that statement? Is anybody who you're microphone to believe it? Thank you very much.
We think everyone is same, but what standard of treatment is that? Treating everyone the same and treating them appallingly is not good.
So, how do you think someone is going to in the wheelchair, do you treat them the same? Do you give them the same bathroom facilities as someone who doesn't have broken leg or disability? If you treat someone who is on HRT for the rest of their life as a transgender person, that transgender person may not have surgery. How do we treat a transgender person who has not had surgery, gender-affirming surgery, give them a HRT, give them a spine pass, that's not a complete training. Not untrained in care, but untrained in how to deal with the special needs of a special person. So we need to improve on that. We need to do our education. We need to make a voice for LGBTI people in age care. And it's not just age care. We need to reach out to people in their homes that are kept prisoner. We need to reach out into the community. We need organizations to stretch further. I know it's possible. I know it costs money. But we need to set something in motion. We need to, first of all, get information out to our elders that they do have places they can move to get support, even if it's just someone to talk to. This takes time and money, expertise. We went through this work. we're happy to go to a place to series and run through the series of others, which is just a safe event. But we can't afford to do that without funding. And where do you go to your funding?
That's a really good question. This is supposed to be like a voice round for them, and that's difficult to do right now. But some of the other questions we've got here that I'm already thinking is to extend the conversation is a little bit about how we know our address data, but the question of digits, so the digits of the information line, and then bringing the ideas to us and then afford the right to catch it. But some of the other questions are, how do we reach out to areas of the home? How do we approach aged care providers to offer assistance? The care value, how to make it inclusive? And also, how do we find support services for you to be able to do that in the homes? And how do we help to make sure that things don't come out of the home to the world? Because we're just talking about the cities, then there's civilians, then there's the remote stations, and then there's those remote areas that we just completely ignore. The First Nation people have no say whatsoever over all of this. We need to give everybody a voice. And if not, everybody needs everybody, not just the white people. Everybody. So we need to really have a national campaign to create human rights to the LGBTI holders in the home, in the unsourced cities, and in the regions, and anywhere there's a gap. We can't let these people just walk. We can't let them just suffer. We have to help them. And it's really important to remember that we're all going to do their part. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. Just remember, you know, to also help yourself and make sure that older people are looked after. A couple of things about what Carol and I are doing as a team is that we have an organisation called Human Sports Australia, and we've started a new program for older LGBTI people. It's a community-based program. It's to visit aged care centres. These are independent and assessed living centres, and creating a regular, safe society interactive program outside of aged care providers. And of course, we take that out of other four events which we've changed into one. We have a rainbow one, which is also pretty sick, and we have a bio one. So we invite LGBT bodies to come to that as well. TLC, TLC, as we have done. We don't provide the rainbow ticket, but we're like next to you. We're a precursor to you because otherwise we're just going to have to close the places. We customize the specific needs of the organization. We've evolved or a team of organizer support procedures and customer facing forms, really interestingly. As mentioned earlier, one of the other sessions about forms. I found out that my form helped me to get my name changed on one of my deployments. And it said right at the end, because I texted my husband to put it down for a session, which was quite a problem. I don't have to put that in all my basic skills to get my name. So we can give presentations to staff and for clients, residents, family residences, can provide training to mentoring staff. This is something that is scheduled to become adopted by other areas of the state through the wider community, so we've got a step-down program that we run to those with disability, random people from other nations, and so forth. We do a handwriter in this time for you all. But before we go, does anyone have any questions? Any questions? Okay.
So let me know if you can do it too, if you do have some questions. So I'll contact the class at info@twlc.com. So info@twlc.com and put in there the text line that is Bridges, and then we can afford this information about the 2012 so that we can go to the devise a strategy and help you get to the existing picture. And so it's not providing you with some of these sort of services and then actually have to provide all of this. So if you want to have any questions, you seem to have lots of time now. I could do a little demo. She comes to Pittsburgh, comes to Melbourne Club. We went to Melbourne Pride Parade. We had a great time. Apart from that, tell us if you have questions. I'm having a really great day. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. If you're in Melbourne and see if you can say something you've not done, we'd love to have that for a room. I'm happy to get it.
Thanks for listening to the Better Together Conference podcast, proudly recorded and produced by Joy 94.9. For a full list of all the recorded talks at the conference, visit joy.org.au/bettertogether or search Better Together on your favourite podcast platform. And for more information on the next conference, visit theequalityproject.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.